If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in. A very happy Friday to you. It is Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we get ready for week five of the college football season. Kicked off last night, in fact, with Army dismantling Temple. But we've got a couple of more games here tonight on the slate that'll give way to what is no doubt going to be an epic weekend in college football. You've got the U tonight on tap here as the University of Miami at home taking on Virginia Tech. And as you can see, that line hovering around 17 and a half, 18 right now. There is no team that has been more dominant, both offensively and defensively, than the University of Miami, gaining over 600 yards of offense a game, while the defense barely giving up 4 yards a play. They have been a wrecking ball here tonight, but you can tell with that line, it was high as 20 a little bit earlier in the week, but there is some Virginia Tech love in the marketplace. Very disappointing year thus far for Virginia Tech as they sit 2-2 right now. A lot of people thought they could very well be a contender as a dark horse in the ACC championship. But the good news for them, after being upset at home last week by Rutgers, they will have their first ACC game here tonight against the University of Miami. So they are very much in the mix still for the ACC championship. However, they can't lose to the University of Miami if that's going to become a reality. And as a 18-point favorite, I don't think things are looking all that well for Vatek right now. And speaking of Rutgers, they went on the road last week and took down Virginia Tech. And tonight, they're home, and they're taking on the University of Washington, who is one of the, will be, as far as I'm concerned, the best team that Rutgers has faced thus far. Washington traveling across the country. Rutgers opened up as a 3-point favorite at home, and a lot of people very high on Rutgers, as well they should be, as Greg Schiano really has this team playing with some confidence, both offensively and defensively. But I don't understand. I do not understand what people think this Washington team is. As far as I'm concerned, Washington has better players on both sides of the ball, including Will Rogers, the former Mississippi State quarterback, now the fifth-year senior, completing nearly 76% of his passes this season. And they got a new coach, a guy that did a pretty good job at resurrecting the Arizona program, the University of Arizona, Jed Fish, who is known to be a pretty good offensive-minded coach, but it's his defense this year that has been over the top, giving up just an average of 10 points a game. And if it wasn't for a last-minute debacle against Washington State in the Apple Cup a couple weeks ago, we'd be talking about a Washington team that is undefeated in this spot. But because of that loss, you can see where the money is coming right now, and it is coming in on Washington here as they are now just getting a point and a half. I did like Washington all week long here on the network. I still like Washington on the money line. I think they win outright here tonight. So a couple of pretty big college football games on tap tonight. We've got the final weekend of the regular season in Major League Baseball upon us here as teams are trying to solidify their postseason berth. Just a handful of games, really, that matter at this point, with the Minnesota Twins throwing up all over themselves all week long. Couldn't beat the Marlins again last night, stranding 15 runners on base and thus losing in extra innings to the Marlins. 10-8 in just embarrassing fashion there last night, or 8-6. Just embarrassing how bad the Minnesota Twins have been down a stretch. A team in which a month ago was very clearly in the driver's seat for the postseason. Now their magic number is one. Any sort of combination of a Minnesota loss and a Kansas City and Detroit Tiger win will eliminate the Minnesota Twins, and that could happen tonight. As Minnesota is at home, Pablo Lopez on the mound, getting ready to take on the rookie Povich for the Orioles, who really have nothing to play for. Orioles got crushed last night by the Yankees. Yankees went ahead and locked up the American League East. The Yankees are still in a battle with the Cleveland Guardians for that overall number one seed and bye. And, of course, the number one seed provides the Yankees or the Guardians with home field advantage throughout the playoffs. But a bye is certainly in the future of the Yankees. They have the Pittsburgh Pirates for a final three-game set in the Bronx here with Carlos Rodon on the mound for the Yankees tonight, going up against the rookie Jones. And the Yanks would love nothing more than to get that number one seed over the Guardians, and they certainly have a path to lock that up here. And they'll get ready, I think, 7 o'clock, right after the 7 o'clock hour. The Yankees and the Pirates at the stadium will get it going. The Guardians, no easy shot there. They're going to have to take on the Astros in that matchup there. Ronaldo Blanco on the mound, on the road at Progressive Field, a place that has been pretty good to the Guardians all year long. Guardians find themselves as a slight favorite, and both of these teams really looking to gain some momentum after a rough second half after the All-Star break. The Astros kind of settled down a little bit, cooled off, so did the Guardians, but both will be in the postseason. The Astros, who solidified the West title there, are good to go, but I would expect both of these teams this weekend to make sure they put their best foot forward. And then, of course, we saw the Dodgers last night handle business against the Padres, and they too are in a battle with that number one seed in the National League with the Philadelphia Phillies. Dodgers hopped on a plane after celebrating that National League West title last night. They are in Colorado taking on the Rockies with Quantrill on the mound here for the Rockies tonight. And as you can see, Dodgers still pretty much the favorite in the National League. But it would be, if I'm Philadelphia, I want the number one seed and I want home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Why? Because they have been a much better team in many instances at home than they were on the road. I would much rather be playing my postseason games at Citizens Bank Park if I'm the Phillies, rather than if it comes down to you taking on the Dodgers, let's say, then having the home field advantage flip to the Dodgers. So the Phillies taking on the Nats here. That's coming up a little bit later. This out, Ranger Suarez on the mound. Trevor Williams going for the Nats, who just got swept by the Kansas City Royals, who again are trying to do their thing, solidify and lock in their spot in the postseason. And they can do that again with simply just winning their games and making sure that even if the Minnesota Twins win their final three games, it's not going to matter if the Royals win their three games. So the Royals are in control of their own destiny, and so is Detroit, as the everyone's favorite Tigers team right now at home is a $2 favorite going up against Crochet and the White Sox. And the White Sox coming off a sweep, trying to avoid having that label of the single worst team ever created in mankind in the history of baseball over 500 years. That is what is at stake for the White Sox. And boy, oh boy, what a series that's going to be here as the Tigers looking to be that one team in the American League, played their best baseball at the end of the season, and can they keep that rolling into the postseason? So that is what is on tap here tonight in Major League Baseball. Joe Maddon will stop by. We'll get some of her picks as we get ready. Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. We certainly appreciate you stopping by. Hope it's been a great week for you. Hope it's been a profitable week for you, because we got plenty going on here tonight as we get ready for week four of the NFL season, not to mention week five of the college football season. And don't look now, but the postseason in Major League Baseball is almost upon us. Once we get past this weekend and whatever is going to happen Monday with Atlanta and the Mets, which in many instances is just is a debacle on so many levels here, but we will have baseball on Monday, which is the day before the postseason is set to begin, as we welcome in our good friend Joe Maddon in the house, keeping an eye on these games here tonight. Joe, I mean, there's still some things to be decided. Obviously, Monday, the big questions with the Mets and the Atlanta Braves. But in the meantime, you've got Arizona that is going to try to do their part just to win as many games, all the games they have left here, to make life very difficult for the Atlanta Braves. But Atlanta on the outside looking in right now, the Mets trying to handle their business tonight. But they've got a team that really has what exactly is Milwaukee playing for? And the answer, Joe, is I don't think a whole heck of a lot. So meanwhile, the Royals are taking on Atlanta, and the Royals still have something to play for here. So which one of these games did you look at first that have a little bit of meaning tonight?
Yeah, I looked at so many of them. We know the Detroit Tigers still are fighting for a wild card spot as well. So that was the team that I did circle. I do think they're going to struggle, though, tonight, Joe, versus Crochet coming out versus the Chicago White Sox. And I think Chicago could get up in the first five. Now, I do think Detroit wins it. Overall, I would look at them straight up on the money line, but it's way too juicy. I think this is a live betting opportunity. This one is kicking off pretty quick here. When the Chicago White Sox go up, if they can, as I expect, in this first five innings, because the Tigers have struggled versus lefties in the last month. Their bats have been pretty cold. So I'm expecting Chicago to hit off of Hanafy here in the first five innings, get the first five lead, and then for the Detroit Tigers to come back. So I will be betting on the Detroit Tigers once they go down in this one. Pre-game, I'm going in with the Chicago White Sox in the first five innings on the money line at plus 130. And then when we're looking at the Kansas City Royals versus the Atlanta Braves, this is a really interesting one. Like you said, it's so much to play for here. I do think the Atlanta Braves in the first five innings is another strong way to look at this one. On that run line, laying the half a run. Now, you're going to have to lay the juice at minus 144, but I do think it's worth it here. Both of these teams fighting for so much. I trust Max Fried coming out more than Bradley Singer, though, to start this game. So give me the Atlanta Braves in the first five innings, Joe.
Like an Atlanta to come out flying with Fried in that one there. And again, it's all going to come down to what happens on Monday with the Mets and company. But the White Sox are doing a hell of a job of trying not to become the single worst team in the history of Major League Baseball ever, Joe. And that is saying something, because, you know, the Oakland Athletics are still in Major League Baseball. We do have still something to be decided in the National League as far as the number one overall seed. The Phillies tonight, I think it means more to the Phillies to get the number one seed locked up than it does to the Dodgers. And they have obviously a very winnable game against Washington, who just got swept by the Royals. They are on the road. Do you like the Phillies here tonight?
You've got to look at the Phillies here versus the Washington Nationals. The Nationals have lost 9 of their last 10 games. While I do think Williams could be sneaky in this game, Williams is 2-0 in his 4 home starts on the season, and that home ERA is a 1.69 there for the Washington Nationals. But I do trust in Suarez. You look at Suarez versus the Washington Nationals in his career, 7-1 with a 3.64. I think at the end of the day, the Phillies will win this and cover that run line. I'm going to lay 1.5 here with them at my -110, but I do think this is a game where the Washington Nationals could make them sweat a little bit in this one, Joe. But the Phillies have dominated the Nationals, so I do think when everything shakes out at the end of the day, they will cover that. They've won 8 of the last 10 and covered 6 of those last 8 wins.
So Phillies there still battling for that number one spot. The Yankees also battling for that number one spot in the American League with the Guardians. The Yankees could still be hung over here, Joe. That's the only problem we have here, don't we? But they are at home. They are taking on the Pirates here. And you tell me whether or not you think the Yankees are sober enough at this point to be able to win this game.
I don't know. Can they play a little bit hungover here? They might be able to, and I do think versus the Pirates and Jones, they have the opportunity to get those runs on the board. You look at Jones coming in here for the Pittsburgh Pirates. His overall numbers are decent. He's got a 4.14 ERA, but you look at him on the road, Joe, and that's where he absolutely struggles. 2-5 with an ERA of 5.96. I can't trust him here on the road versus the Yankees, even if this team is hung over, had a couple too many beers last night. I still think those big bats will come to play. I'm going to look at Soto for the home run. He's coming in at plus 360. And this game to go over that total. I think this total is just way too low because I do think Carlos Rodon, we've seen in some games him allow those runs. He's got a career ERA versus the Pirates of a 3.99. So I do think the Pirates will help us get over this 7.5. One player I did circle from the Pirates to get a home run. It's a huge long shot here, Joe. But at plus 690, or no, plus 630, I like it. It's Connor Joe. I think Connor Joe could get a home run today.
Oh, I like it. All right, so the team, the Yankees, are battling on the Guardians here. They're, a game behind the Yankees. They take on the Astros. What do you think of that one?
Oh, this is going to be a tight pitching duel from the very start of this game. I'm expecting this one to stay under that total of 4.5 in the first 5 innings. That's coming in at minus 125. I do think both of these pitchers, with Blanco coming out for the Astros, will be nice and strong in this matchup. It's got to be playoff style baseball in this one, Joe. I just can't see this one flying over. Now, I do worry about the full game total. We know when we get into that spot of extra innings maybe coming into play, I could see that in this one, and I don't want to touch it. So first 5 under 4.5 at minus 125.
All right, we got a couple more games to go over. We'll do that when Game Time Decisions continues on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. We appreciate you stopping by. Joe Ranieri alongside Joe Maddon as we've got some baseball on our mind. The final weekend of the regular season is upon us. Still got some meaningful games going on here in this final weekend, all culminating to that final doubleheader with Atlanta and the Mets on Monday. That had to be rescheduled because of the hurricane. But tonight, we still got a couple of other games, Joe, that you've looked at and that you like. Tell me about Toronto, your Toronto Blue Jays with, I believe, Berrios on the mound, hosting the Miami Marlins, who had no problem dismantling the Minnesota Twins and ruining their postseason chances. So what do they do tonight against Toronto?
Well, they love to play spoiler, right, Joe? But there's no spoiler to be played here versus the Toronto Blue Jays. And I do think Barrios coming out here for Toronto has been strong at home on the season. We know those home numbers, 2.69 ERA at home, 10-2. But you look at him over his last three games, and that's where I've been so impressed by him. He's been straight fire, 2-1 with a 1.42 ERA. I'm really expecting him to limit the bats here of Miami. Like I said, Miami's not in that role where they're going to wreck anyone's dreams. So they're just coming out here to, you know, finish off these last couple games of the season. I think they struggle to get those runs on the board. I'm going to take the Miami Marlins under 3.5 runs. It's Juicy Joe at minus 142. And you could look at taking the whole game under. The under is sitting at 8.5 at minus 124. But what worries me here is we've seen such a lack of offense out of Toronto that at one point, this team has the bats that can hit, and I'm just afraid that they could push this one to the over. I could see it being 3 runs here for the Miami Marlins and 5 for the Toronto Blue Jays, which would push us over that total, so I don't want to be there.
Can't blame that at all here. I know the Red Sox final series here at Fenway Park for the season didn't quite work out the way they had hoped, but Pivetta taking on Taj Bradley. Tampa, I don't know, can Tampa score enough runs, even be competitive in this one? How are you looking at it?
Yeah, I looked at this one and I thought Tampa should be able to get the win, but I think actually this would be a high scoring game if they did get the win, because I do, even though the Boston Red Sox have been striking out a lot, think they'll be able to hit off of Taj Bradley here. I know that their strikeout rate versus righties has been so high, Joe, but I just think in this one, their team total of 4.5 is screaming at me. You're getting plus money to the over 4.5. It's coming in at plus 120. I expect 5 runs out of them. Now, can the Tampa Bay Rays come in here and hit Nick Pivetta? They absolutely could. So I'm going to stay off a side in this one. I'm just going to look at the Boston Red Sox, because either way, win or lose, I expect them to get 5 runs in this one. Bradley's just been weak versus lefties, and we know this lineup is stacked with lefties out there. So give me the Boston Red Sox over 4.5 runs.
And what about the Minnesota Twins, who have done such an amazing job of basically choking like we've never seen here? They do still mathematically alive. They need a lot of help here, but it would help if they start by beating the Orioles tonight. But I'm not so sure. What do you think we're going to get?
The only help they're getting here is to help pack their bags, Joe, for the playoffs.
Yes.
They're not going there, right? They're not getting to the playoffs. The Baltimore Orioles are going to try to crush all of their hopes in this one. I think Gunnar Henderson comes out and has a strong day. He's already hit nicely off of Lopez on the season. You can get Gunnar Henderson for that home run at plus 450. And then the Baltimore Orioles, I'm going to take them straight up on the money line. I just don't trust the Minnesota Twins to be able to come out here and hit Povich in this game. They've had their struggles over the last month, and I just don't think they have enough down the stretch here to get things done. So I'm fading them. It's the Orioles for me.
Yeah, Gunnar with a home run. I'm with you. At that price, why not take advantage of it while you can here? And it's going to be an interesting weekend, Joe, just simply because we still have the top seeds available for the Yankees, Guardians, Phillies, and Dodgers. The Monday Mets series should be real interesting to see what that even means, depending on what happens with the Arizona Diamondbacks this weekend. So a lot still to be determined, but we've got we're just getting ready. I mean, you say goodbye to the regular season, Joe, Major League Baseball, and we welcome in the postseason. This time next week, we'll be fully engulfed in who's going to win the World Series, who's going to win the pennant. We look forward to it, Joe. We'll talk to you again then. Game Time Decisions continues after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday, it is Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we're getting ready for week 5 of the college football season. Let me just apologize ahead of time for our next guest, Colby Dant, in the house. Don't know, he was just breaking down Holy Cross and their actual women's softball team coming up this year. So we're going to shelve that for the time being, Colby, and we're going to focus on a real team, and that being the University of Miami, my friend. It's always a pleasure to see you, because the U, I don't know if you've heard, the U is back, which seems to be, I think we have T-shirts, you and I, that pretty much say that, and that never gets old this time of year because they're always back. But no, legit, it does feel like the U is back. There's something that feels different about this team with Cristobal and how they're dismantling opponents. Va-Tech was overrated to begin with. Is Va-Tech going to hang around this game here tonight, or does Miami do what they've been doing and basically steamroll everyone?
Yeah, I think it's more of that. Now, obviously, it's Cristobal. Historically, you know, you look at it being a 17, 18-point favorite, you go, oh, I don't know. But Virginia Tech is just, they just don't look good to me. I watched that Rutgers game twice, and they don't have anybody good on the offensive side of the ball to me that can really make plays. So I do think Miami's the play here, because they just don't have difference makers right now with the Hokies. And the Hokies' run defense has been terrible. When you look at that, Mario Cristobal is really loaded up on the O-line. They got a couple backs that have been, you know, Martinez was the big one they brought from Oregon State, but some of those other backups are doing really well as well. So I think they're gonna cover the 17.5.
I listen, they are going scorched earth, over 600 yards a game. Good luck, Va-Tech, that defense spent the entire time on the field against Rutgers. They couldn't get off the field against Rutgers. It was kind of crazy. So we'll see how that goes tonight. Speaking of Rutgers, they are at home taking on Washington, the newly minted Big Ten Washington Huskies here, who full disclosure, I was screaming Washington +3 earlier in the week, and unfortunately, apparently they listened, because now it's down to one and a half here. I just think not enough has been made about what he's doing at Washington and how good this team really is on both sides of the ball. What do you think happens here in Piscataway tonight?
Yeah, I'm on the other side, man. I think Washington, you know, they lost to Washington State in the Apple Cup. Now, Fish does have them ahead of where I thought they would be, to your point. But I still, first off, this is their first time playing. They have a short week, and they have a Friday night game in New Jersey. Do they even know where Piscataway is? So I think just that alone is hilarious. But then the fact that, you know, both these defenses, both run defenses actually have struggled. But I just think, Friday night, you got Rutgers, you know, they're undefeated. I mean, how many times can you say that by this point in the season? Probably since the last time Shiano had that magical run with Brian Leonard. But Kalamanakis, the Greek rifle, they call him at the quarterback spot, is playing good football for them. The run game and the fact that they're just more of a veteran team. I look at Washington. They have all these new pieces. I just think in a big game like this, nationally televised, I'm going to take the team with the continuity at home on a short week that didn't have to travel across the country.
You have not lived until you have hung out on Route 9 in Piscataway. Let me tell you, there in Rutgers, you will hurry up and get back to the airport. That is for sure. All right, so let's go from one team that might have problem scoring to another team that has no problem scoring, in Ole Miss. Taking on Kentucky this week. Boy, talk about scorched earth. Is Kentucky got enough to stop and slow this team down here? They did a pretty good job against Georgia.
I think they can. And I mean, mainly because Ole Miss has played nobody. Like, I don't know what to, I mean, I guess Wake Forest is their best win, but Wake Forest has not looked very good this year. Kentucky, I do worry about the offensive side of the ball, but I do think Stoops will be able to have a game plan around the defensive side of the ball and be able to really, you know, give Ole Miss the most challenges they've seen all year. So this many points, last time they played 2 years ago in Oxford, believe it or not, was a 3-point game. Will Levis fumbled late when they were in scoring position because Kentucky might have won that thing. I know Ole Miss has since gone out, brought in a bunch of guys via the portal. And perhaps Kentucky's not as good offensively as that Levis team, but I still think it's too many points. Give me the Wildcats on the road there.
Yeah, it's a ton of points. In fact, what about this game here, it's a kind of off the beaten path, but I didn't understand the number, and maybe you can help me understand. I didn't understand how Texas State was laying single digits against Sam Houston State. By the way, both teams in Texas, in case people didn't understand that. But now I'm starting to see 10, 10 and a half popping up, so it does look like there is some Texas State money coming in here, and I agree with it. Do you?
No. I'm on Sam Houston.
You like the other way.
Yeah. First off, this is an old school rivalry. They played in the FCS ranks for a long time. Now, it's a neutral site game because Sam Houston has to meet some quotas, so they're playing at that Houston Texas Stadium, NRG. But Sam Houston flying under the radar. I think a lot of people thought coming into the season in the Conference USA, it was Liberty's to lose, and if anyone would come up and contend, it would be Jacksonville State and Rich Rodriguez. I would say Sam Houston State has been that team. They hit as a double-digit dog for me against the Rice Owls. They've just looked really good. They hit for me against Hawaii. The defense is what, to me, is selling this team. And when I think about Texas State coming in, yes, Texas State, G.J. Kinney's got this program really, you know, ignited. There's talk they might be in the Mountain West by this time next week. So I still think, though, a rivalry game, you're getting points, and the clear better defense is the dog. Give me Sam Houston State there.
Whew, you like that it win over Hawaii got you going, does it? We got it on there at Sam Houston.
I think they could win the game outright, too.
Listen, in rivalry games, throw it all out the window. None of it makes a damn bit of difference. But Rice, Hawaii, and New Mexico State has got Sam Houston 3-0 right now. And the market going the other way, but heck, grab it now. 10 and a half is available with Sam Houston. What about the other game? You know it's bad when a head coach threatens to retire and step down to make the team better. That usually means, Colby, the team is not going to be any better. North Carolina, Mac Brown, bless his heart. But good Lord, Mac, you stepping down is not going to help this team tackle anybody here. What do you think against Duke?
I think it's a great rebound spot for Carolina. Duke is 4-0, and let me tell you, I cashed in on Duke last week against Middle Tennessee because I think Middle Tennessee is the bottom five team. But I don't know how good Duke really is. When you watch them, I mean, they probably should have lost to Northwestern when they played up there, like on that lakeside makeshift stadium. Yeah. But I tend to think Carolina just far more talented as long as they can bounce back from that. And if I'm Mac Brown, I'm telling my team, yeah, we gave up 70 to JMU, but that's irrelevant. This is a 12-team playoff. We have yet to play an ACC game. We take care of business here, win a rivalry game. I'm fascinated by the matchup because, you know, he fired Manny Diaz. Mac Brown, when he was at Texas, fired Manny Diaz.
Yeah.
They played when Manny Diaz was at Miami, and Manny Diaz didn't shake his hand, and it was kind of controversial. So I do believe there's animosity between the two coaches. I think Mac gets up for this one. I think Carolina's a talented team. I think the Tar Heels win it outright.
It also feels to me like, how are we getting over that number? North Carolina is going to be better defensively, and we know Duke is going to play. It just feels like a big number for those two teams here, a little bit overinflated, but I'm kind of with you. I think Mac Brown bounces back here. All right, final game, Bama, Georgia. I've heard it for both. Who are you picking?
I'm on the dogs. I think they're all the difference. Saban's gone. Kirby Smart can you know, finally get over the hump and win in Tuscaloosa. And the real story is I think they put the kibosh on Jalen Milroe.
And by the way, they can't stop the run, Bama, which might be a bit of a problem in this game here. But I'm with you. Take all those. Alabama's own jork. That's all out the window the minute Saban walked out of the building, Colby. I am with you. All right, hope you're dead wrong on Rutgers, my man, but it's still a pleasure to see you. Game Time Decisions will be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on a Friday. Can we believe it? The final Friday of September as we get ready to welcome in October, which means, of course, we've got postseason baseball just around the corner. We've got as far as I'm concerned, the NFL really starts to get going in October. And then, of course, we've got week five in college football. The NHL already has got preseason games on the ice. That'll be here before we know it. So in addition to the leaves changing and all that other good stuff, October is a beautiful time of year in the sports world. You don't have to tell George Kurtz that, because he no doubt has been waiting 162 games just to get to the postseason in Major League Baseball, because, well, he knows and I know the Yankees are legit contenders here this year, which is kind of hard to believe, Kurtz, because it's been not easy, shall we say, the entire season for the Yankees. But if we're being honest, I kind of like the way they sit right now heading into the postseason, provided the pitching holds up. Could this be the year finally? It's been a while. What, 2009 since they hung a banner there?
2009, and could we say the same thing about every team in the American League, though, Joe? I mean, there's no standout team. Baltimore has a lot of issues with pitching, but if their hitting comes around and Corbin Burns pitches great, they can do some damage. We're probably not giving enough love to the Cleveland Guardians, you know, because they've pretty much had everything clinched for a while here, but that bullpen is locked down. They get a good 5-6 innings out of those starters there. They could do some damage there. Detroit's the hot team. Kansas City, probably not. And as much as I think the team that's still the problem is the Houston Astros. I just do. Mm. They know how to win here. Now, we don't know about Jordan Alvarez, right? He sprained his knee, hasn't played since earlier this week. That's a huge, if he can't go, that would be a huge loss. Although by the time they're going to have to play again, it's another what? I assume they're going to have the third season. They're going to need to play Tuesday or Wednesday. I think he'll be good to go. I just don't know if he'll be at full strength, and I don't know if he'll play the outfield.
If we're being honest here, do we expect what we've gotten over the last couple of years, where these teams that get red hot at the end of the season and just, you know, roll that into the postseason, and next thing you know, like last year, it's like, oh, look at this. The Arizona Diamondbacks are the National League pennant winners here. Is there one of those teams, or is this the year where the chalk finally prevails, you think?
I mean, this is the problem, right? Because the Yankees, the Guardians, the Phillies, and the Dodgers, after Sunday, they're not going to play again until Friday or Saturday. I think the American League goes Saturday and the National League goes Friday. So that's five or six days off. So that's always the argument. What, would you rather have the rest? Well, of course you would, right? You get to set up your rotation the way you want it. Any nicks and, nicks, bruises, little injuries there, they should heal up by then. So you want the rest, but you could come out cold. I mean, think about it. If anyone's going to face if the Tigers win, you're going to go face Tarik Skubal in game one if they can line it up right. But you face almost automatically, you face the Cy Young guy game one you haven't played in a week. That can be tough. Mm. So, that's why I think there is an advantage to a wild card team if you know you're going to win. All right. It's better than the one game. At least now it's 2 out of 3 here. I still rather have the rest, but I think there's a reason why wild card teams have more success, because they're ready to go from game one on here, where those teams that have a rest, it might take them a game to get going.
It's interesting, too, because I do think if I'm Philadelphia, I want to guarantee every series I have home field advantage. They can do that. They're a game up on the Dodgers. They can lock it in. I think it matters more to the Phillies, and if I'm the Yankees, I don't want Progressive Field to be the home field here throughout the playoffs. I want it to be the Bronx, don't you?
I do, but apparently the Yankees don't care. If you've seen the lineup tonight, they have a one-game lead over Cleveland. Now, they do have the tiebreaker as well. So Cleveland pretty much has to win out and have the Yankees lose out. It doesn't quite work out that way, but it's close. But the Yankees lineup tonight, there's no Judge. He pretty much told you last night that he was going to party and take the game off. He said that. His words, not mine. So no Judge of the lineup tonight. No Wells of the lineup tonight. I mean, Grisham's playing. Trevino's playing. Cabrera's playing. Apparently the Yankees don't give a damn. No Stanton of the lineup either, by the way. So they must not think it's as important. I think that's silly because I agree with you. You don't want to play in Cleveland. But the Yankees may be thinking the only place they're really – the only really bugaboo for the Yankees outside of Tampa Bay, and they're not going, would be Houston. And they already have them beat.
Yeah, well, they do there. But let's be honest, Stanton, probably hurt himself partying last night, so he's probably lost anyway. So whether he's in this lineup or tonight won't really make a darn bit of difference here. But what did you think? What is it going to matter, you think, come Monday, Kurtz? Put the crystal ball together. The Mets and the Braves are going to play a doubleheader. Is it going to matter? Is Arizona going to be able to finish strong and possibly make it so it doesn't matter all that much? Or are the Mets going to throw up all over themselves? What do you think happens come Monday? Is it going to be for all the marbles?
I think it's going to be for all the marbles. I think Atlanta and the Mets are going to have to play to decide who gets in. I don't think it'll be a seeding thing. I mean, it certainly could be, but I don't think so. I don't think the Mets are going to throw up all over themselves this weekend. Milwaukee has almost nothing to play for. Now, there is could be a little thing there. You know, the Mets GM, Stearns, used to be the GM of Milwaukee. So maybe they want to stick to him. But still, they're not going to have any of their starters go past 4 or 5 innings, right? You're still setting up for the playoffs. Remember, Milwaukee does not get a bye, so they have to play on Tuesday. So they're not going to do anything silly. I think they would like to beat Stearns and the Mets, but they won't go out of their way to do it here. Atlanta, Kansas City, is that game even being played tonight with everything that's going on there? Are they going to have more doubleheaders this weekend? So that's tough. But Kansas City needs to play, right? They need to win. That is not a gimme series for the Braves here. I think the Mets take 2 out of 3 from Milwaukee, and the Braves probably do the same to Kansas City, which means nothing changes and Monday has to be played. You know, you guys like to call me Captain Chalk. Gabe also calls me Captain Chaos because I love this. Let him play a doubleheader on Monday. We get that right into Monday Night Football. That's a joy.
So why are the Mets only a -110 favorite tonight? Does that not seem like a gift, Kurtz, or what am I missing here?
I'm on the Mets. I think it is a gift.
I mean, come on, people. Montas versus Manea. And like you said, not a whole lot to account. We're not going to get the bullpen. You know, Devin Williams pitched last night. He ain't pitching tonight in this game at all. So the Mets need to win. Milwaukee doesn't. This is going to be very interesting. That's for sure. All right. We'll check in with the NFL with George when we get back. Game time decisions on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't break defense. Giants didn't run all over them, so they made some necessary changes on a short week. I thought Dak looked great, but he always looks great against the Giants. But you got to win the games you're supposed to win. They've done a pretty good job of that. What did you see from your Cowboys last night?
Well, you started off right correctly, right? An ugly win is better than a pretty loss, all right? And you take a W, a division game, road game, you want the W, you got it. It is a team that Dak owns. The Mariners don't own the Giants. Dak Prescott does. He was good, but not great. I mean, he only threw for 220 yards. They only got 20 points. It wasn't like they lit him up here. So it sort of is what it is here. This is the way the Cowboys are. It's Lamb and Ferguson. And there's nothing else on offense, right? There's nothing else there. So if you cover those two, it's pretty much done for the Cowboys. Parsons, he looked invisible for about 3/4 of that game last night. He didn't do much of anything. Then he got hurt at the end. You probably heard McCarthy about an hour and a half ago say the injuries to Parsons and Lawrence are worse than expected. What does that mean? All right. This doesn't mean they're out long term. It means it's whatever worse than what McCarthy thought. They do have the extra couple of days to get ready. We'll see what happens here. I think Parsons has the high ankle sprain. Lawrence was the foot sprain. Lawrence has been dealing with that foot injury for, it seems like, years, by the way. So, he could be out, and that's going to be a problem. The Cowboys play Pittsburgh on the road next week. Okay, fine. Not a good offensive team. But after that, they got Detroit, Philadelphia coming up. That's not good if he can't make it for those games. And Micah needs to be Micah. He needs to be that defensive MVP, which he has not been at all so far this season here. So it's a win. You take it from that. But if you ask me long term, I don't know if last night did anything to make me feel better about the Cowboys. All right, they got annihilated by Baltimore. I know the 4th quarter fine. Got annihilated by New Orleans. You beat a Cleveland team that even the Giants beat. That win may not be as big as we thought it was after week one there. So I said, I don't know if there's anything here that makes me feel great about the Cowboys. Like that schedule, that's not fun. I mean, that was Atlanta thrown in there. Another team that could score some points there. I think I saw San Fran, who will probably be healthy in there as well. Boy, that's not a fun schedule for the Cowboys. They have to get healthy.
Yeah, no, they do. And at least they'll have a little extra rest to do that. Now, let's talk about a team that can actually win something. The Jets this weekend here, Kurtz, are at home in what is a terrible spot for Denver. I mean, let's be realistic. You're going to ask this kid to go. I don't think they flew home either. I think they've been practicing in West Virginia. But you're going to ask Bo Nix to go on the road, beat Tampa, and then what? Come to New York and beat a more rested Jet team who didn't play until last Thursday, so they got extra rest. The eyeball test tells me the Jets are getting better and better each week. Rodgers versus Nix, Hackett versus Peyton with Hackett's quarterback. What are we missing here, Kurtz?
And I'm with you, and I'm not a Jets fan, but everything you said is true. The Jets do look better. I think they'll get better and better each week here. I don't think they're going to hang 35 on them, but I think they win this game fairly easily. 24-10, 27-10. I'll be betting the Broncos team under. I don't think they're scoring points at all in this game. I think the Jets will close this down fairly easily. The only thing I'm worried about is probably I won't take any Garrett Wilson props. All right. Rodgers and him aren't on the same page yet anyway, but Surtain will be all over him. And we saw Surtain shut down Mike Evans last week. So they'll look for secondary receivers, Lazard. I think it's a big Breece Hall game coming as well. But I'm with you here. Jets win this one pretty easily. I will take the Jets. And I'll take the under.
Yeah, which might be a problem if it was any other quarterback than Rodgers, who has no problem getting 10 different receivers involved in his game plan. So you're open. He'll get you the ball. That's why you went out and spent the money to go get him here. But certainly has an opportunity here. And Hackett has an opportunity to go ahead and say, oh, so I was a terrible coach, huh, Sean Payton? All right, we'll see how that rolls there. Should the 49ers, with all those injuries, still be a double-digit favorite this week against New England? We have not had a double-digit favorite in the NFL yet, Kurtz, which is crazy.
No, they are. That's sort of a sign of the season, right? Take the team getting the points. I can't take New England getting the points. Did you see that game against the Jets? I know you did. That was ugly. I think May would have started today if not for San Fran here. I may not bet on San Fran, but I'm not betting on New England either. But I think San Fran wins this game pretty handily. They're an angry team at the blowing that game against the Rams last week.
Yes, they are there. Kittle looks like he'll be back in that one as well. All right, Kurtz, enjoy your weekend. Don't pull a hamstring. Game Time Decisions will be back another hour next on the grid.